Good afternoon, and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy. This weekend is the 70th birthday of the 4th Avenue Theater in downtown Anchorage. Begun in 1941, but slowed by World War II, the theater finally had its grand opening on May 31st, 1947, a day that its builder, Cap Lathrop, called the happiest day of my life. It was a maroon and blue jewel with seats for nearly 1,000 people in a town of just 10,000 people. Golden murals depicting Alaska's history grace the interior, and the Big Dipper blinks in lights from the ceiling. Usherettes showed you to your seat, sort of like going to the symphony. Today, we think popcorn and movies go together, but back then, Cap Lathrop forbid any food in the theater. He wanted to keep his showcase pristine. Today, the theater is in private ownership, but it lives in the hearts of the community as a building of historical significance. So what will the future of the theater be? Here to share details on this weekend's birthday events and to lay out the current status and even some ambitions for the theater for our guests, I'd like to welcome to the show, we've got Ira Perman, who's the chairman of the Friends of the 4th Avenue Theater. Hi, Ira.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathleen, for having us.
So glad to have you. We also have Judy Bittner, who is the State Historic Preservation Officer. Sounds very important.
Okay. Thank you for inviting me.
Very happy to have you. And she's with the Alaska Historical Commission. And we also have Klaus Meyer, an architect and also active in this weekend's activities with a panel at the museum on the 4th Avenue Theater. So, Klaus, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Very happy to have you. And we think we may hear from Grant Callow, who is a local attorney and a real enthusiast for the 4th Avenue Theater, and who crafted a proposal to the Historical Commission. And he's out of town, but he really wants to join us. So we've given him a toll-free number to call us, and we hope we hear from him during the hour. So to get started, I want to tell folks a couple of things. We have a slideshow, thanks to the Friends of the 4th Avenue Theater, some interior images that you don't get to see anymore. We haven't gotten into the 4th Avenue Theater in a number of years. So we have some images that show the murals, the Big Dipper on the ceiling, just a lot of the real flavor and color that made this place special, the kind of sweeping lobby, the staircase. It's just a kind of glorious grand place. So you can go to alaskapublic.org and look for Hometown Alaska, and right there on the show promo, you'll see a slideshow. And if you've forgotten, if you haven't been in there in a while, we'd really encourage you to go take a look, because it's just kind of a walk down memory lane there for sure. And I also want to let our listeners know that we welcome your participation in this show. Perhaps you have a memory from the 4th Avenue, or maybe you're a young person in Anchorage and you have questions about the 4th Avenue or want to just weigh in on its value as sort of a historical signature for Anchorage. So you can give us a call at 550 I'm sorry about my throat. It's birch season. 550-8433 in Anchorage. Statewide, it is 1-888-353-5752. And we also welcome email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. And we do try to kind of pull those in, and if there's a question, get it answered on the show, or if there's just an opinion or a story, we would welcome that. So I wanted to start off with just kind of a celebration of the 4th Avenue Theater. And I'm looking at Ira here. Mm-hmm. He's the chair of this Friends of the 4th Avenue Theater. First, what is that group? And then let's just start talking about why that group is so motivated to save this.
Sure. That group is a committee, the Friends of the 4th Avenue Theater Event Celebration Committee. And I am a co-chair of that along with Sandy Harper, Sandy Harper being of Cyrano's Theater Company. And that is a committee that is working on this weekend's big celebration, the 70th anniversary of
three-day
affair. That's right. Yeah. And it's a group that came together urgently. The urgency came about when the community learned there was a demolition permit afoot that could call into question whether there would be a 71st birthday of the theater or not.
Much less a 75th birthday.
That's right. Normally you celebrate 75th birthdays. Why a 70th birthday? Because, well, we didn't know if there was going to be a 71 or not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the question that motivated people to come together and remember what the building was to them, to their kids, to their hopefully their grandkids in the future. So they all came together. I have a list of 45 people working on this remarkable event that meet every week. We meet every week around a table and work on what we're talking about later, the amazing number of activities that are going to happen over the course of this three-day weekend.
Right,
and
right.
They're all volunteers.
Right. So it's really focused on the weekend, not so much. But is that the same group that made a proposal to the Alaska Historical Commission?
No, it is not.
Okay.
Let's
make that clear.
Friends of the Fourth Avenue Theater is a generic name that's been out there for years. As has the slogan, "May the Fourth be with us, may the Fourth be
right.
with you."
It's
I've heard it for decades.
The stickers, the "May the Fourth be with you." Yeah.
That's right. So if it confuses people as to which group is which, I can understand that. But the group that's putting on the celebration this weekend is focused on that, and that's the group that Sandy Harper and I co-chair.
Okay. So I did want to spend a little bit of time and anybody chime in here, why this is a building worth saving. And it's not because I doubt it, but I just think sometimes people haven't been in the building in a long time. They might think, oh, it's too old to save, or it's in bad shape, or can we take those murals out and put them someplace else? Or, you know, they might have different ideas. So let's talk about why it is unique. Part of it is that the period of time when it was built, big movie palaces, from what I have read, were the thing. And so you had the Pantages Theater, Seattle, Los Angeles. This was really high entertainment. Cap Lathrop, the guy that built the Fourth Avenue, envisioned it here, began it in 1941, but then World War II happened, slowed it down. But it seemed like the plans, from what I read, got grander and grander while he waited for, you know, materials to become available.
That's right.
And I think it's worth noting that the people who participated in it actually were brought up from outside, that were critical people in these kinds of theaters, like the I guess it would be the architect, Marcus Pretica, was known for his movie houses, right?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Been doing it for over 20 years, 30 years at that point.
And there was also a muralist, and there was all this interior work done by an A.B. Heinsbergen and a Frank Bauman.
Anton Heinsberger, right.
Yes. Okay, say that again.
Anton Heinsberger.
Heinsberger, Bergen. And so...
Bergen.
Do we know anything about the design of the murals? Like why they chose to have the elements they had? Or is that just sort of lost to history?
I'm not sure how. And we were speaking of the two giant murals that flank the stages that are about 30 feet tall. They're huge,
right.
and they're epic. And if for those of you who've seen them, you know that they depict the aspirations of Alaska at the time. Following World War II, and it has scenes of... trains, streamlined trains. It has ships. It has power plants. It has
dams. I think
dams
there's
and barley farms
yeah.
and propellered airplanes streaming across the sky and radio waves coming out of towers. You can get the picture.
Yeah,
it has the feel almost of some, if you've seen those Art Deco murals of the late 1930s. It has all that feel of, you know, positive. It's a great big beautiful future that we have.
Look
here.
Out, here we come.
Here we come. Look out, here we come. Very confident.
Yeah, yeah. And I think in the lobby there's a beautiful Mount McKinley, which is also a similar type of mural, right?
It's huge.
Yeah. And so, there's lots of wood inside. And
yeah, I think the millwork is really a spectacular work in there. And Ira and I actually went through the construction drawings, and we documented some of those. And it's just amazing how detailed the woodwork in there was. And, you know, for the time being, it was really probably the best building in town, you know.
Right, right. I think it must have meant that people got dressed up to go. You didn't sort of slide in your sweatpants to see a movie.
Very much, very much. You know, this is the frontier town, and we only had a few streets that were even paved when it opened up. Mm-hmm. And as you'd mentioned earlier, Cap Lathrop didn't allow popcorn or soda pop in there. It was such a beautiful place, and you were supposed to dress up. In fact, the ushers, they had ushers in those days, all had matching beautiful uniforms, which I've looked at the pictures, and they're more like gowns, like formal gowns,
right.
in magenta, like the color of fireweed and blueberries, and it's just very... Right. Remarkable.
Right. And they described sort of a 200-person waiting room, which is, I guess, the lobby, because Cap Lathrop did not want people standing outside in the snow. You
That's
come
right.
in, but then you get shown to your seat by an usherette. And there are some usherettes still in Anchorage today who I have a link on the website to Frontiers where they are interviewed and talking about their important job as usherettes. And there's a famous story of a young usherette who was chewing gum and she she got into a little bit of hot water because that's not what a Fourth Avenue Theater usherette did, was not to chew gum.
That's right. And we'll be having some of the stories of those ushers and usherettes at the theater on Saturday being told outside the theater.
Right. It's kind of a street fair, right?
That's right. All the activity takes place either in the street, the block that's right in front of the theater, or in the Performing Arts Center in the Discovery Theater, where we're going to be showing two movies that are associated with the theater itself.
That's right.
And then also some activities at the museum Sunday and then the following Monday.
Right. And we're going to talk in more detail, but there will be a panel that has some architects on it talking about the architectural value of the building and maybe visionary ideas of what it could possibly.
Right. I think our idea was to actually look ahead. What is the vision for the theater now? You know, it has been such the heart of downtown Fourth Avenue. I mean, it's hard to imagine that it would be gone. So what, you know, future vision could be in there?
Right.
It's kind of the heart of our discussion on Monday night, 7 p.m. at the museum.
Right, right. Good. So let's see. Do you think there's any little jewels we've left out that should be talked about in terms of the building itself? And there was a penthouse up top.
That's right.
It was the original home of Kenai Radio and Kenai TV.
That's right. Most people aren't aware of it, but the theater itself was only about two-thirds of the building. The western one-third was the home or the studios of KENI, radio at first, and then eventually television. In fact, Channel 2 News, KTUU, had its offices.
I was here when KTUU was down there.
That's right. It's a very large building.
Yeah.
What you go in as an audience member, you see the beautiful lobbies and, of course, the theater itself, but you don't see the office spaces on the side. And even down below, underneath is the largest room other than the theater itself. It's a very high-ceilinged room that can be used for any number of things, but it's many, many thousands.
And I think, again, the wood detailing of those TV studio in the back, you know, I mean, it's just fantastic. You would think a TV studio doesn't need that kind of attention to detail, but it's just amazing what kind of
artistry that we don't always see anymore, especially with woodwork. Boy, that's
When we looked at the drawings, I mean, it was just apparent what kind of heart and soul went into the building, you know. It's just amazing.
It should be noted that in those suite of offices was Cap Lathrop's office. It was the head of the heart of his empire, if it were. And the building is actually known as the Lathrop Building. It's not just the Fourth Avenue Theater, but it's the Lathrop Building.
That's right, yeah.
That's where the movie mogul Cap Lathrop was, and everything about this building just screams movie mogul.
Yeah. And he was like in his 70s when he started building it, and was in his 80s when it was finished, which this guy was not ready to slow down at all.
Apparently not. This was the second theater he built in town here.
There was the Empress, right?
The Empress Theater was built in 1916. It was the first concrete building ever built in Anchorage. And it existed as a movie theater till 1958, became a bank, and more recently it was the Anchor Pub. And it didn't disappear until about 3 years ago when the Wrecking Ball took it down to make room for the expansion of the Legislative Information Office.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
and this building also was on the National Register.
The Lathrop Building?
No, the Empress Theater.
Oh, the Empress was also...
Yes, it was also listed as one of the really important buildings in Alaska.
I did not know that it was...
So many of us are aware that what could happen with the building, even if it's on the National Historic Register.
And even if we're fond of it.
Even if you're fond of it.
If it's in private ownership, it doesn't mean that it will last forever. I'm going to welcome a caller onto the show. Hi, Thomas. This is Hometown Alaska.
Hi. So when I was in seventh grade, I went to a theater like that in Lahana, Colorado, and watched movies every week. That was fun. And in Denver, Colorado, they had the Aladdin Theater, which is the same building, and they tore that down and built the ugly Walgreens.
A Walgreens.
And when I was in Germany, in Bremerhaven, we went to Bremen, and they had the Aladdin, or Aladdin, And it was a high-end nightclub that was packed, and I think it would be a cool place to have, like, dinner shows where they got something going on to the stage, and you could have dinner and drinks and
bit of nightlife.
And cheap burgers during the daytime for the locals.
I like that.
And then, you know, it is so wonderful and unique and obviously expensive if necessary, you know, I think that everybody loves the building, that it should get a tax discount downtown so that, it, you know, people can afford to go there and make it busy.
Mm-hmm.
And if that brings people downtown, that'll help the other businesses pay their tax, perhaps.
Right. So
I love the building. And
did you go see movies there?
No, I've only been here since 1982. So what do you call that?
You're a chichaco.
Yeah, a chichaco. I'm still a chichaco. But we had it in Lahana, Colorado, in seventh grade. I went all the time.
So you understand. I mean, you have a feel for this kind of a building.
And I went to the one in Denver, which, you know, it's so awesome. And the Capitol building in Denver also has those pictorials of yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and lots of propeller airplanes tomorrow, if you know what I mean.
Okay. Well, thank you, Thomas. It's great to hear from somebody who didn't grow up going to this theater, but you kind of get the idea that it's happened across the country.
I totally get it. And if you look up the Latin Theater in Bremen, Germany, no doubt that was 30 years ago, but I bet you it's still roaring with success.
Well, maybe that'll be the future of our theater here. So thank you so much for participating. We appreciate it. You going to jump in, Ira?
Thomas's comments bring to mind, you know, a question that's on a lot of people's mind. Well, if it's saved, what will it be? And many people think it'll be a movie theater once again. And in reality, the movie business has bypassed and moved away from these single theater.
Netflix.
Yeah, well, heavens, yes. I mean, I wasn't even going that far. I was just thinking of the multiplexes that we have all over town, Century 21,
25 movies, Ticotanou, any one night.
That's right. And so theaters of this nature, the single theaters, don't get the first-run movies. But that doesn't mean they don't have another life. I mean, all across the country, towns have been dealing with this and saying, we want to save the building, but what's it going to be?
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing how creative people have become. Even right here in Anchorage, we have a good example. Over in Spinard, what was the Denali Theater, out on Spinard Road, is now the Beartooth.
Right. A restaurant, a movie house,
just like,
Thomas
was saying, you know, cheap burgers.
Right. During the day for the locals. Right.
The locals. And in the evenings, it could be classic movies, foreign movies. They use it a lot for community town halls of one kind or another.
Mm-hmm.
The Fourth Avenue Theater itself was used for weddings.
Right.
My daughter's prom was there in 2003.
Right.
Many Rotary Club met there.
I read that the Supreme Court of Alaska had their first oral arguments in the Fourth Avenue Theater, so everybody got a piece of it.
So
right.
There's lots of possibilities. There's no shortage these things.
So folks have just joined us. I just want to let you know we're talking about the Fourth Avenue Theater. There's a big kind of birthday event because the theater is 70 years old, and so there'll be movies in the Performing Arts Center, there'll be storytelling and music out on the streets, and it goes on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and includes a panel at the museum with local architects talking about the potential for what this might be. But what I want to move to is, okay, we have a building that is in private ownership, and we have a lot of public sentiment and affection for this building. So I want to turn to Judy Bittner, who is the State Historic Preservation Officer and with the Alaska Historical Commission, to talk a little bit about how it might happen that a building that's in private hands might end up being saved as the community seems to be asking for it to be saved. Could you kind of walk us through that a little bit, Judy?
Yes. Actually, there are several different avenues that could be could take place to save that building, and in the private ownership that the owners can work with their own development and work with the community to come up with a use for the building that that is has a sustainable business model in an adaptive reuse to that building and preserves those historic character of the building in the inside as well as the exterior that are so significant to that building and would be a big draw to both the residents and to visitors to Alaska. And it's a very beautiful building inside, and it would lend
talk about it in the beginning of the show.
Right. It would lend itself to an attractive place to be, and it is trying to figure out then what kind of activity and business, since it is a commercial building, that would make that a good sustainable business model for that building. And it might be a totally private business model, or one that's in partnership with the city or a nonprofit, or a whole new owner that might come in with a use for that building, and that would embrace the historic properties of that building and the fact that it is an anchor building on Fourth Avenue and in downtown, and would generate interest and activity and make it come alive again.
There's lots of talk about downtown, you know, needing something. And I think we even heard that other businesses would thrive more if there were more people, if this became a draw again. Right now it's boarded up, right? It's not a draw anymore. But there is nothing that requires a private owner to, unless they have a vision, you know, that they share the vision.
Right.
So I guess this proposal to the commission is a kind of community effort to draw the owners in and have a discussion.
I think the drawing in that the state level, the Alaska Historical Commission, and asking that at the state level that the citizens group make a recommendation, look at the building, look at its significance, and make a recommendation to the governor and to the state of Alaska if this is a significant building and worthy of preservation at a statewide level.
Now, there's steps, right, to getting there. Now, there is a designation now of cultural and historic value, right?
Yes, it was listed on the National Register of Historic Places in 1982, and it well documented its significance both in the development of Anchorage itself, becoming kind of a permanent community, and its growth. It is the buildings associated with Cap Lathrop, one of the most important businessmen in early Alaska, not just Anchorage, and it's architecturally significant, both in the interior and exterior features, and all of that is documented in the National Register nomination, and for those reasons and the criteria, this is worthy of preservation, it's worthy of consideration, and it's worthy of community support and effort, as well as a message to the owners that this is very worthy of preservation, and hoping that they will embrace the historic significance of the building.
By the way, I should say that I did reach out to the owners. I didn't want to have a show about their building without inviting them to join us, and they haven't joined us, but I still provided the phone number in case they are interested in calling in. I know that we have to have some kind of meeting of the minds here for something to happen. So, would love to hear from them if they wanted to talk. Yeah.
And I think all the parties that are interested in working together. It is what I have gathered from the years working with the Fourth Avenue Theater, and the most recently the discussions I know that have been going on, including the owners, that I think there is a desire to preserve the building and to find a use for it. And there has been a long-time recognition, I think, at the city level as well, that Fourth Avenue itself is significant in its historic buildings, and the Fourth Avenue Theater particularly. And there's been downtown comprehensive development plans that call out the historic buildings and the need to preserve those and incorporate those in downtown revitalization. And it's important to save those. And so that plans are for all people, and the owners and the residents of a community. And so it's been recognized for quite a long time. And the city is also working on a historic preservation plan that the Historic Preservation Commission is working on, and it's getting, I think, pretty close to a final draft.
Oh, so we might be able to see that.
Yeah, and I would expect in that plan that kind of calling out some of the historic buildings downtown, as well as proposing some historic preservation incentives, such as tax incentives for property owners to invest in the historic properties and, you know, preserve those important historic characters of the building, and provide some maybe tax abatement for a few years or something, mm-hmm. but one that is encouraging in a positive way to preserve some of our architectural history.
Right.
Judy, this is Ira. What would be the difference between that kind of a tax treatment and what the owners were asking for about a year ago?
Well, the city has in place, I think, preservation tax credits for demolition and rebuilding.
So,
and
to, so clean for, up, to clean up the city.
Derelict buildings. And I think there was, it was put in place targeting some particularly bad buildings or one derelict buildings that they were trying to get cleaned up in town. And I remember some of the testimony at the time as well saying, well, why don't we have a positive tax incentive that encourages historic preservation and retention of buildings and not just the demolition and rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're both good they're both good tools for a city to have, because some buildings need to go. and then there's some buildings that the city should be encouraging the retention of and the preservation of, and some, usually it's tax abatement incentives for that investment.
So if I understand right, we actually don't have that in place in the city. We have the sort of demolition side of it, but not the, hey, this is a building we actually want to save. Let's help the owner, you know, save it so that the community can still appreciate it, so that we don't have those.
Yes, yeah, the community can appreciate it, and it's often economically important, particularly for commercial areas and historic districts. I think the historic preservation tax incentive downtown Anchorage would improve the downtown's economic viability, mm-hmm. and might have a revitalization of downtown if they. Mm-hmm. So we have some really fine buildings mm-hmm. Downtown from the 40s, you know, up to the. Some of the early modern buildings in the 60s, mm-hmm. and just keep the scope and scale and some really nice architecture that's in downtown Anchorage.
Now, is there another step the Historical Commission can take in designating this something beyond what the commission has already done? So we've already noted it's historic and cultural, but is there something like monument or something? Is that another step?
Well, it's a different program and a different law. It is currently listed on the National Register of Historic Places, which is a federal program, and it was listed in 1982. The Alaska Historic Preservation Act has provisions from the 1970s, when it was put into place, for designating state monuments and state historic sites.
Okay. So.
And I think that was the proposal to the Alaska Historical Commission, which is a 9-member citizens commission. For them to, and the request was for them to recommend to the governor that he designate the 4th Avenue Theater a historic site, a state historic site.
Okay, and what happens if that happens?
Well, if it's privately owned, the commission would just give that recommendation, and the governor would consider that recommendation among other
many other things
input.
On the governor's mind right
yeah
now.
And other input that he would receive. But if it's privately owned and if he wanted to go in that direction, he would ask work with the owner and saying, you know, this has been recommended as a state historic site, would you agree? And they would have to have the concurrence of the landowner or the property owner to actually designate it as a state historic site if it is privately owned.
So it's really a partnership all the way along. And it's never been in public hands. It's always been in private hands, right?
That's correct.
I even read that at one point an Oregon company that was a theater company had purchased it. This is back, I found a Juno Empire story. And it was, let's see, in 1985, Oregon-based Thomas Moyer Theaters bought the building, and then Mayor Tony Knowles brokered a deal to preserve its historical character. The city spent some money at that time to buy a conservation easement.
Yes.
Maintaining the theater's facade and interior for posterity. Anyway, it's gone back and forth. It was apparently foreclosed upon. Let's see.
It was the last time it was used as a theater. And I think that was the time that the theaters were going to multiplex theaters, and it was a big theater company. And they
Okay.
Yeah, it was a theater company, and this was just their theater investment in Alaska, but they think they owned.
They pulled out, yeah. Theaters. And along, Robert Gottstein owned it for a long time, since 1991. He was involved with it. So, it's just been sort of kind of percolating there.
Right. And under Mr. Gottstein's ownership, it served many different functions.
Right.
That's when the seats were taken out and a level floor was put in its place. And I remember going in there for Rotary meetings on Tuesdays and looking at all the murals. And as I mentioned,
how classy.
It's a pretty classy place. Yes, very upscale.
Not and Denny's, but
no.
Theater.
And as I mentioned, my daughter's senior prom was there. I've talked to a number of folks who've had weddings there. Mm-hmm. It's just that kind of a place. And it had an active tourism bent to it. Two people would come in there and, buy books about Alaska and everything else that was for sale about Anchorage and so on. So it was a very big anchor for that street, for 4th Avenue, for the merchants and the tourists.
Yeah, I remember the little red trolley car out front.
That's right. The red trolley car would come up and pull up and take people all around town.
That's
right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it was a going concern for quite a while, but it's, I think, been closed for several years now. So we were saying maybe it was the mid-2000s that maybe the last public things were going on there.
That's about right.
So, well, we are going to take a little break. You're listening to Hometown Alaska, and I'm Kathleen McCoy. Stay with us.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 8 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Our topic today is the 4th Avenue Theater, and we've got some guests, Ira Perman's here, friends of the 4th Avenue Weekend Festivities Committee, but also I think you're involved in the sort of the group also trying to more formally save, talking with the Alaska Historical Commission. So Ira's here. We have Klaus Meyer, an architect, and also with the Alaska Design Forum, who is putting together a panel a Monday on at the museum at 7 to talk about the future of sort of imagining the future of the 4th Avenue Theater. We have Judy Bittner here, who is a state historic preservation officer, who just was giving us a rundown on what the process might be for this building that's in private ownership, but maybe a sort of forming a sort of public-private partnership where the historical value of the building is preserved, and yet the owner has the opportunity to realize their investment and realize their sustainable sort of business plan. So that's kind of where we were when we just were talking. Let me throw out our phone numbers for our listeners. 550-8433 in Anchorage. If you were an usherette, we want to hear from you. statewide, it's 1-888-353-5752. And we do welcome emails at hometown@alaskapublic.org. And I just want to say quickly that I did get an email from Nancy Nowak, who had performed, she says, during the building of the Performing Arts Center in the 80s, the old Sidney Lawrence Theater became no longer available for Anchorage arts groups. The Anchorage Opera and the Alaska Light Opera moved to the 4th Avenue Theater during that time, giving us performers a true adventure. I remember performing with Alaska Light Opera at the 4th Avenue in 1987. In order to change costumes, everyone had to go up and down three flights of stairs. There were so many costume changes during the Light Opera's production of Annie, Get Your Gun that many of us wore flesh-colored leotards so we could change offstage. To cross from one side of the stage to the other, we had to use the alley behind the theater. I truly believe that there are some folks in that alley who took their last drink after seeing apparitions in frontier or Native American garb. So thanks, Nancy, for sending that little
story.
Yes, that's great. So anyway, Judy was just kind of laying out how these public-private steps can get taken. And Ira, I just wanted to turn to you because you came in and said, well, there's a little news here, so tell us.
Well, there is. I think the issue for the owners and prior owners, too, has always been, how do you do this economically? A theater presents an interesting challenge on getting a return on your investment. Unlike trying to renovate a historic office building into a new office building.
Still an office building.
Still an office building. A theater has a huge amount of cubic feet and square feet. And it's very difficult to get the same kind of return on investment from that kind of a facility than it is for, say, a hotel, a galleria, mm-hmm. Office
shopping.
Space. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been the issue across the country
Over the years,
here as
mm-hmm.
well. And so when the initial proposal came in front of the assembly some 2 years ago or a couple of years ago, I believe it was, it did not have that. It basically turned the cubic feet of difficult to rent space into more easily to rent space in the form of a galleria, etc. That plan, as you know, didn't move forward because it didn't receive the tax abatement, so that's kind of on the shelf now. So the discussions moving forward are
still the same owners, right?
Still the same owners. Still
Peach
the same
Investments.
Peach Investments, yes. Still the same owners, and clearly it's going to come down to a discussion of how to afford to preserve that building. It doesn't have the same rate of return as a theater as it would if it was an office space or a hotel or a luxury condominiums, whatever. So there are discussions that are taking place. I'm pleased to say there's significant communication that is occurring between the representative of the six people who made the proposal to the commission.
Historical commission.
And the investors. Mm-hmm. And I was on a phone line with them this morning, and the representative who's a well-known architect in town, Larry Cash, who signed that letter, and also, coincidentally, has worked with the owners on other projects. He's being a kind of a back-and-forth communicator and a very good one. And
by the way, it's also his birthday today, I think. Happy birthday, Larry.
Oh. doing
thank you,
good
Larry.
Work on his birthday.
Yes, he has been doing good work. He's not in addition to being a very fine architect, he's also is a fabulous person in the community, always looking out for the community's best interest. And he has taken it upon himself to have active discussions with the owners about how could this project move forward and have a win-win. And by that I mean that their initial project, which is, you know, an investment project which includes hotel rooms, condominiums, galleries, shopping mall, etc., that is economically a viable situation, coexist in the same location with the theater largely intact. And by that I mean the front is the same front, the lobbies are the same, upstairs and downstairs, the interior space that we all know and love is the same. The gorgeous murals remain intact and in place and on the walls. All those things that we remember and love, the ceiling with the eight stars of gold on a field of blue.
Yeah,
yes, all stays in place. And there is progress. I know, for example, that at the commission meeting that took place last month, the owners offered written testimony that they said, you know, emphatically, we want the community to know that we have no intention of demolishing, we have no plan to demolish the building. And I think that was meant by them to say, please, you know, we're not going to show up with a wrecking ball on a Saturday morning and have
Don't panic.
Yeah. That was a good sign. Uh-huh. And there have been, you know, continuing better signs. And I think as of a few days ago, there's been some other key meetings. And although this is a thing that's developing and in progress, I have to express some significant optimism.
Uh-huh.
I we're heading there.
Yeah.
You're right. It's going to take communication between the community, the owners.
It's like matchmaking.
It is. And it involves a lot of money. I mean, it's going to take a great deal of money to make that building back, to bring it back to some kind of a life. And that's all part of it.
And the need to be able to make an income off of the investment.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Sort of understanding the needs of both sides and trying to find a way that both sides get something that works. So it does take, you know, that's not in the script. I mean, this is off script. People have to sort of figure out how can we all get together at the table.
Right.
And without promising anything we're not sure of yet, you know, but like, let's talk about it. What could it be?
This is a very long journey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think the discussions are trying to find common ground and look for incentives and, you know, where the different parties can assist. And on the state federal side, there are historic preservation tax credits that are in place that are federal tax credits that I hope will become part of the package.
You see pieces that could be piled together that yeah. make this attractive, both for the historical side, but also for the investment side.
Yes, yes, these are for commercial buildings and. You know, if there's some, you know, federal tax credits and then if the city comes in with some city tax credits and you know, a number of years ago there were new market tax credits that were part of the mix as well. So sometimes you just have to piece together a lot of different incentives and tools and put it all together and some.
What's the right recipe?
Right. Last week I was listening to an hour and a half long webinar on the very subject that we're talking about. How do you finance the renovation of a historic theater? And as Judy said, there's a number of these different protocols that are offered by federal government, state government, some local governments. But also, there's just the plain old philanthropic efforts.
Mm-hmm.
There are people willing to put their own money into something of this nature. There are major foundations across the country and even within Alaska that could be approached to help in this regard as well. So it
takes a village, right?
It takes in this case a big
and crowdfunding
village.
And
oh yeah, there's crowdfunding.
Right. But so we've got a couple callers, and I'm just going to go ahead and try to move through a few of our calls. I'd like to welcome Sandy onto Hometown Alaska. Hi, Sandy.
Yeah, hi. Well,
oh, it's
I'm
Sandy.
Excited to hear all this positive talk about repurposing an historic property into a viable enterprise. And there are examples of that all over the country. But I was also going to share a little bit about, you know, it is a unique architectural treasure and cultural treasure, but there are so many emotional attachments to this building. You know, as Ira was suggesting, weddings, graduations, anniversaries, and so on. And I have a personal memory I was going to share. My husband, Jerry, was a teenager in May 31st, 1947, and he took a date to the grand opening of the film, The Joseph Story, there.
And that's wonderful.
And he also had a job for Kenai Radio, Muckluck Telegraph. And that was before, I guess, FCC was too strict, because they would send, like, messages before cell phones, hey, George, remember to bring some groceries home.
Right.
Those
are charming.
Like
those are charming. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was also just going to quickly mention, you know, Cap Lathrop, the great visionary who made the theater possible back in 1923, had the vision of Alaska being the Hollywood of the North. And he actually produced a film, the famous silent film called The Chuchakos. And actually, we're going to show that film Sunday at the museum at 2. But the point is, the way he did it was he had people buy stock certificates, and the whole community invested in this film, which actually did become commercially successful.
Oh, that's so crowdfunding, the early version
of crowdfunding.
Exactly.
Crowdfunding.
All right. Sandy, thank you. I've got a bunch of callers trying to move in. So let me welcome Ron on to Hometown Alaska. Hi, Ron.
Hello, it's Ron. Yeah, I'm actually serving on the Friends of the Fourth Avenue Committee, and I just wanted to call up and share my excitement about this whole Memorial Day celebration, especially the street fair in front of the place on Saturday. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, as I read in the notes here, I think you're going to be Cap Lathrop, am I right?
That's the rumor, yes.
Well, we've got to have him. He's got to...
Okay. We will be bringing Cap Lathrop back to life. For those of you who don't know, Cap Lathrop actually has a Facebook page. Did you know that? He posts
no.
to it regularly. If you Google Cap Lathrop Facebook, you will find his page.
Oh, that's fun. That's fun. Well, let me welcome Caroline. Hi, Caroline. You're on Hometown Alaska.
Yes, Kathleen. The thing that I was going to mention is Alaska always comes through. I got to Fairbanks in 67, and this had already transpired. The kids up there bought Kramer's Field with their nickels and dimes. It's a major fundraiser. And you talk about not being able to make any money from something. That was just the field. It was in a milk farm, I think. Anyway, that's a big major flyway for
right.
all the birds going to the North Slope.
So they preserved it.
Yeah. So, you know, if Fairbanks, and I know there's a rivalry, can do it, Anchorage can do it, too. We
All right.
can.
All right.
And there was some fundraising. And I really thank everyone who's working on this as volunteers. But Cap Lathrop, he was a big man in Fairbanks, too, a four-story building.
Oh, I know.
And KFAR radio and TV used to be on the
oh,
fourth
yeah.
floor. I worked there. And so anyway, the history is state history, not just Anchorage history.
Correct.
Absolutely.
He truly is. But those kids up there, that needs to be written up sometime.
Okay.
They put their little nickels and dimes together, and they bought Kramer's Field.
So maybe the fifth graders of Anchorage can put their nickels and dimes together and contribute to this.
Well, I'm afraid it's bigger money that's needed now. But
that's true. That's true.
The adults can certainly chip in.
That's right.
Great.
That's right. Thank you, Caroline. I appreciate that thought and
You're
the
welcome.
Optimism that you bring to bear. So let's see. I did not want to lose out the opportunity to talk about that panel at the museum on Monday. So, Klaus, I'm going to call on you. You've been quiet. Tell me what your vision is for that panel and who might be on it.
Well, the panel is really kind of a look at what the future could be for the building. Like we heard, you know, there's lots of options out there, but at this point, when we learned about the demolition permit, we weren't quite sure if that was a feasible option. And so we wanted to present an option of saying, look, there's other places around the country. I mean, I think we used to have like 20,000 of these theaters all over the U.S. And I think we have about 250 left now. So, you know, it's that whole perspective of, you know, the heart and soul of downtown Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to draw in terms of our designer mind to say, what can we actually bring to the table here?
Mm-hmm. So do you imagine painting a picture for the audience of what could be there? Are you going to draw on examples from around the country? What do you think?
Yeah, it will be a mix. So we'll have some architects, preservation architects on the panel that will present kind of the historic value of the building, of what it was. But then we also look at the how to save it, how to make it work. And we'll have various ranges of, we have an artist on there, Holly Nordlum, who will be presenting her vision of the future.
Visually,
she's an artist and also a filmmaker, so, you know, just makes sense to say, you know, what other ideas are out there, you know? So
yeah.
we'll just have different ideas out there to discuss and also get a feedback from the audience, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make this interactive so we can actually share some ideas.
Mm-hmm. So people can come with ideas of what they'd like to see.
Yeah, and maybe we can have a lively exchange.
Mm-hmm. So that's at 7 o'clock on Monday at the museum. Maybe we should actually kind of alert people to what the activities are, because we've talked about 3 days, but we haven't really said what you get to do. And there's a long list of what you can
do. There's a lot.
You got it there, Ira?
I do.
Go ahead and give us some of it.
As you said, it's 3 days. It's the Memorial Day weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and Memorial Day itself, which is Monday. On Saturday, that is what we'll call the street fair. And that's where it starts at 1 o'clock with music. At 1:30, we have storytellers, people telling various stories across the street. The old federal building will have 3 stages. And we'll have stories, for example, Rick Goodfellow, who runs the ghost tours of Anchorage.
Oh, those are so great.
He has on his tour a really wonderful story, it's a true story, of the ghost of Cap Lathrop. And he'll tell that story a number of times over that period of time. At 2 o'clock, we have opening ceremonies, and dignitaries will make some speeches, etc. That will be followed at, and we'll have a star placing ceremony. You know how on Hollywood Boulevard they have the stars on the pavement? Well, we're going to do a temporary installation of two stars, one for Cap Lathrop and all that he did for Anchorage in the movie business, and the second one for Ray Mala. Ray Mala, a very famous actor, the Eskimo actor from, as he was known, mm-hmm. from Alaska, and we're going to place a star there in his honor. Mm-hmm. Then at 2:30, we have the first of three different bands that we'll have over the course of the day. This will be our first jazz band, and that'll continue on from 2:30 on for the next hour and a half. At 3 o'clock, have I got this right? At 3 o'clock, activities also go on in the Discovery Theater of the Performing Arts Center, the first of our two free movies. Mm-hmm. The first one is The Sword and the Stone. Now, that's a Disney movie, and if you grew up in that area, you'll remember. What's the significance of that to the Fourth Avenue Theater? Well, that was the movie that was playing when the earthquake hit. And there's a lot of stories, and I don't know how many of these are true or not, but the fable is that if you know the story of Prince Arthur and Excalibur the sword, at the moment where Prince Arthur pulls the sword out of the stone, the earthquake hit, and the building started shaking. And people thought, these are amazing special effects. And so
They were.
So we're going to be showing that movie, and we're going to ask people at that moment when the sword is being pulled out to stamp their feet and bounce up and down
in their
chairs
and
have a little earthquake. And this is free. Just come on over, bring the family, bring the kids. It's a mm-hmm. great, it's a great thing to do. Later in the day, we're going to have a second movie. I believe that's at 5 o'clock. I mean, 4:30. There'll be the showing of The World in His Arms. Now, what's that movie? That was 1952. A movie starring Anne Blythe, Gregory Peck, and Anthony Quinn. Now, what's significant about it, it had its grand world premiere right here.
In the Fourth Avenue Theater.
That's right, because it takes place in Alaska.
Okay.
And, you know, Cap Lathrop, using his amazing Hollywood connections, brought Anne Blythe and all sorts of folks from Hollywood up here.
I think I saw a picture of her coming down the airline.
Oh, yes. It was a huge, huge big deal.
Yeah.
And, lines out the theater. And it was the major social event of the decade when she showed up. And so we're going to show that movie as well.
Is it at the PAC also?
At the PAC also. Once again, the Discovery Theater. And it's free. So come on over and enjoy. At 4:30, we're going to continue with big band music out on the Fourth
Suitable
Avenue.
Suitable for the era.
Yeah. Suitable for the era. That's right. All of you who know how to swing dance, please go ahead and bring your swing capabilities. We'd love to have a little mosh pit of swing dancers. Later on at 6 o'clock, throughout the day, we're going to be collecting little written stories. One of the most fun thing about this whole project is just hearing these amazing, fun, anecdotal stories, as you've heard from some of the people calling in. We're asking people to write them down. At 6 o'clock, we're going to read some of those off. At 6:30, the Blackwater Railroad Band, one of the most popular indie bands from Alaska, will be performing on the stage, and they'll take us till about closing time. It's about 8 or 8.
Big day Saturday. This is just Saturday.
Oh, by the way, we're going to have an auction, a raffle for a quilt, the quilt with being the 4th Avenue Theater marquee design.
Oh, neat.
Then we move Sunday and Monday. We move off the street and over to the Anchorage Museum. And the big activity on Sunday, well, let me go with the small activities or the ongoing activities, not a small activity at all, but we'll have displays of the theater construction drawings, which Klaus was referring to earlier, which are just artworks in themselves. And then the museum has dug into its archive to found just a whole bunch of historic photographs of the theater, black and white, color, everything. And there'll be a display up just off the atrium. That'll be for everybody to take a look at. But at 2 o'clock, as you heard earlier, going to play the film The Chechakos. This is a 1923 film. This predates the Fourth Avenue Theater significantly. And this was Cap
Lathrop. But a window into the grand vision.
The grand vision that was Cap Lathrop. Yeah. So it's a silent movie, and it will be in the theater of the museum. And we'll have some narration or discussion immediately following the movie about the significance and how it was put together and the stories of the Anchorage folks who participated.
Locals were.
As extras. You all had many, many, many locals. Cool. Everybody tried to get into that and be a star in that movie. On Monday, once again, the displays are up for people to come see. And at 7 o'clock, as Klaus has said, is the design Alaska Design Forums thing. And that's free to the public. The museum is free at that point so that anybody can come in and enjoy it.
So, and yeah, it's an opportunity for you to bring your ideas in and, you know, maybe what you would like to see there. And maybe you could be part of persuading this project to move forward. So, yeah.
And I apologize if I've left things. And I know I have. I forgot the antique auto mushers. The old cars will be out there. There's just so many things that are colorful and fun to do.
Yeah, I think there might be food trucks out
there. Oh, there's food trucks, a beer garden. There's going to be children's activities with chalk.
Right. Chalk. Okay, sidewalks and chalk. That sounds like fun.
Lots of fun things to do.
That's
it just goes on and on.
That's great. And before we lose you, Judy, we wanted to, you know, let you talk about the next regular meeting of the Historical Commission. Is there one coming up, and will the 4th Avenue Theater be on that?
Yes, the Alaska Historical Commission has been working with its members and the Lieutenant Governor to set the next meeting, and there'll be the next really regular meeting of the Alaska Historical Commission on Monday, July 17th in Anchorage. And it will be at the BP Center and probably start mid-morning, and it will be noticed, and we're working on the agenda, and so there'll be a public notice that will go out, and the agenda and an announcement will be going on our website as well. And so we're just right now we've set a date and a place, and as details come out, we'll let the public know. And for sure, 30 days in advance, there will be a official public notice.
Of course.
And maybe a little bit before that. But a date has been set. And it's a regular meeting of the Historical Commission, and the 4th Avenue Theater will be on that agenda.
And so July 17, and the location one more time?
BP Energy Center.
And is it an opportunity for testimony, or is it more that the commission is doing its business?
For the 4th Avenue Theater, I think the testimony has already taken place. And so there won't be, on that issue, additional testimony. It'd be, I think that's the feeling now, that the last meeting that we had and the...
It was primarily testimony.
A testimony, and the record was open for an additional several days, and we took written testimony. So the testimony has been taken.
Is the testimony on the website, if people wanted to read it, if there's written testimony?
It probably will be posted once the meeting has been posted.
Okay. All right. I know Ira, we are just down to not a whole lot of time, so not a lot of time for a whole story, I don't think, unless you could jump to the punchline.
No, I can't. But there's some wonderful stories that you'll hear this. I have a story here that was given to us, but if you come to the event on the weekend, you get to hear this whole fun story about the dog in the theater.
Okay, be sure to ask.
Ask for the dog in the theater story.
I want to hear
this. It's a great story.
The dog in the theater. Okay. Well, gosh. Thank you so much to Ira Perman, Klaus Meyer, Judy Bittner, and I'm sorry we didn't hear from Grant, but Grant, we're thinking about you and hope all is well. And I'd like to thank our listeners and callers on today's show. I'll be back as your host next week when we talk about a new economic model for local musicians, the house concert. As the Spinard Jazz Fest sweeps through Anchorage, lots of local and visiting musicians are performing in living rooms. How and why does that work? Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org. Dave Waldron is our audio engineer. Thanks for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.